Someone said, Kevin, you've changed. No, I'm Kevin Clark, not Kevin Gasser. I had the privilege of walking with Kevin while he was at Eastern Mennonite Seminary and deeply and fully appreciated who he is. And I am really glad that he found his way into your lives, because I find him to be a very stellar and deeply spiritual man. Grace and peace to you. And let's begin. Paul begins this particular prayer with the words, "for this reason." How many of you ever stopped to pray this prayer? Nobody? How many has ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Embedded in the New Testament are quite a number of wonderful prayers. And the invitation is to hear them as prayers and to allow yourself to pray them as well. What I like about this particular prayer is where it seems to be located in Paul's letter. It comes about the middle of the letter. And it seems to be a bridge between what Paul has just said and where Paul is going. Now, if you've read the letter to Ephesus, you'll know that at the very beginning when Paul says, "An apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace be to you from our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he jumps right into this moment of praise. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then for the next 14 verses, he never puts a period in. I challenge you to start at verse 3 and read the whole way to verse 14 in one breath. I challenge you. Because what he begins to do is he says, this is God's initiative within us. This is who Jesus is and what God is doing, and inviting a living, breathing response on our part as the people of God to what God has done. This prayer now he ends up in beginning in chapter 3. Is a prayer of formation. It emerges out of Paul's deep awareness and understanding of who this gift of God is and found in Christ. And he calls it a revealed mystery. How many of you like mysteries? Yeah, there you go. And then when you come to the end of that mystery and you really finally, you're trying to figure it out as you're going along, and all of a sudden, bingo, there it is. Why didn't I see that? Why didn't I know that? Paul's saying, this mystery has been revealed. And here I am passing this on to you all. So the literal chapters of this particular letter, and of course when you read it as a letter, you'd have to get rid of all the numbers and chapters and those kinds of things, because it was a letter. He says that there is this extravagant grace. And in those first 14 chapters, he begins to just pile all this wonderful words that beg to be lived into, to be understood. And he finally moves to this place where he prays in chapter 1 for our eyes to be opened to this grace. And that we would have a spirit of wisdom in the revelation of this grace. That we would know what is the hope and the riches and this inheritance that God has in us. And that this power that's immeasurable would be at work in us. And this is the same power that's at work in Christ. So there's initial prayer before he gets to this prayer. Like this compass, a wonderful, wonderful compass understanding. Paul's pointing us into the direction that God is inviting us. The other thing that I would like for you to pay attention to as we move into this particular prayer is that we tend to sometimes read this on an individual basis. And it is for us as individuals because we're members one of another. But Paul is writing this to all of you as a corporate body, as a part of the body of Christ. This power. So he begins to lay out the consequences of what God has done for us. Our dead living. I'm just still in the first couple chapters here. Our dead living, but being raised in Christ. God's grace and kindness toward us. And that it's by faith we find ourselves into this. And down about chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand to be our way of life." Other translations call to say that we are his workmanship. And I think something that really is important to get a hold of, because you are created in the image of God, and God is at work within your life. Does anybody know what this word workmanship is, what its derivative is, where it comes from, why it's there? Did you ever think of yourself as a poem being written by God? How many of you ever thought yourself that way? Beautiful, wonderful. That is the word poema there, that we are God's poem, poema, which finds its way out into workmanship. So you're a poem. It's being created in Christ Jesus to what God has invited you into, to be truly who you are. His workmanship. It's this movement of reconciliation. And again, I'm still messing around here in these first couple chapters. There's so much to be unpacked here. That this mystery, this intent for humanity, all of us, has been revealed in the boundless riches of Christ. This boundless riches that is being brought to light. Being brought to light not just in this place, but to the whole of the cosmos. Those stars out there that are to infinity. Is being made aware of the light that Christ has given in the body of Christ gathered. And Paul begins to pour this out because he is... Where is Paul when he writes this letter? Anybody know? I know some of you know. Jennifer. Yeah, he's in prison. Paul is in prison, and he's writing this letter to the church at Ephesus because of a deep love for what's going on with the body of Christ around the known world at that time. So he's seeing that bringing it to light and bringing it forward, and this one in Christness that God is inviting us to be, a people of God, finally finds its way down where he says, okay, for this reason, everything that went above and before. So you really have to get some background to where this prayer finally comes in the letter. And Paul's saying, I have this ministry and I'm passing this on because there's a deep mystery. I'm saying this again, being revealed to you and to me. And finally he comes down to the end of it, because Paul is this minister of this grace. And what I find as I look at Paul's life and see how it's unfolded, that there is a very certain trustworthiness in Paul. And the churches began to understand that even before the Spirit pulled this all together into what we call the Holy Scripture. So as they're reading this letter and discovering this trustworthiness, here's a guy that is in prison because of Christ, writing about the love of God while he is bound and unable to move, and saying that there is this wonderful richness of God at work. So he's saying, I'm a servant of this, and I want to pass it on to you. He's writing this letter as a pastor. He's writing this letter as a brother. He's writing this letter as one who's beginning to fully experience what it means to be in Christ. Following what Jesus said, you must lose your life to gain your life. What does it mean to be fully embraced by Christ? So he says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth takes its name. Paul is now moving to a shift in his wording, in his understanding. There's a heart of relationship here that's coming across that's very key and very important. I bow my knees. How many of you have been taught to bend the knee when you pray? The position of your praying is important. Yeah, sure. There's something about how we place ourselves in the presence of God sometimes. Is it not? When you are joyful, how do you feel? What do? Come on, you're allowed to talk to me, honest. I know this is a Mennonite church, but I want some feedback. You jump. You dance. You skip. You feel light. The Jewish people, when they prayed, would pray standing. And they would pray standing with movement. If anybody's observed any Jewish people in prayer, there's movement in their prayer. So Paul is shifting this just a little bit in a sense of reverence to all that has gone before and said, I'm bowing my knee. I'm bowing my knee. I'm putting myself in a position, a different position of worship and prayer because of all that God has done. And he says, I bow my knee before who? The word there is Abba. This one who is so close as parent. This one who loves deeply and fully. Who has provided a way for me to engage and enter into a relationship that I don't fully understand. How many of you understand what it means to live for Christ? I'm glad no hands went up. Because I was going to come down to you and let you come up here. Because I don't fully understand it. I need to continue to learn what it means to follow Christ. And Paul, moving into the heart of this prayer, talks about this relationship at God's initiative that begins to work its way into our everyday living. Key, everyday living. I pray that, according to the riches of His glory. Hear that, the riches of His glory. Sometimes we live in a land that we think we are in deep poverty. And poverty is a deep sin that finds its way into the living of us as humans. And I say that because some people are sinned against and find themselves there. It's a depravity of human living. And Paul was saying here, you know what? In terms of who God is and how God is at work with us, there's a richness. A richness. It's not poverty. It's richness. A richness in who Christ is. There's an abundance of love. So if any of you are sitting in this room right now thinking that God does not love you or there's not enough love of God for you, open your heart up because God's love is deep and full and rich. And it's for you. Just by the virtue of you sitting in this room, I have a tendency to believe that there's a richness in God's love surrounding you here. Tap into that for each other. I pray that according to the riches of His glory, not my glory, that you be strengthened in your inner being with power through His Spirit. Be strengthened is the word for becoming strong. It's a movement that you would be strengthened. It's a movement day by day, moment by moment. God is wanting to be a present and a part of who you are every moment of your life. Together being strengthened. And he says here that you would be strengthened in your inner being with power through His Spirit. And the word strengthened and power are dual words that go together with something called your inner being. Where is Christ right now? You made the motion there. Right there. Jesus said something that's very mysterious to me, and I don't fully understand it. I'm trying to learn to live into it. That Jesus said, the Father and I will come to you, and we will make our home in you. I don't understand. Do you understand that? What does that mean? That's something Paul is saying. That's part of the mystery. That's what God is about doing. That's what God wants to unfold within your life in a deeper sense of freedom, that you would be strengthened. These are parallel verbs. Strengthened by this indwelling Christ. So that you don't find yourself being spun all the time by the variety of things that come at you, but there's an inner strength and awareness. And each of you, I think, know when the Spirit of Christ has spoken, or when there's been a certain type of conviction about something going on in your life, or a deep desire to know God more fully, or an issue or something going on in your life where you were just drawn to intervene or intercede or be a part of, because a love that's in there is starting to find its way out. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The word heart there, and I continually try to get a hold of what that means. It's not just that kind of heart. It has something to do with your whole being. That Christ may dwell in the wholeness of who you are. Wholeness of who you are. Thoughts, mind, will, emotion. What does the first commandment and the one that's like it when Jesus was in conversation with the Pharisees? They said, what's the greatest commandment? With... Okay. So Paul is saying that your hearts would be strengthened by this indwelling Christ so that love would be preeminent in everything you do. Are you there yet? No. No. It's that strengthening. It's that ongoing journey. It's what God is about doing as we open ourselves and allow that to happen. There's different ways of knowing God and God at work. One of the ways that we knew this morning together of God's love was how? I'm sorry, I'm a teacher. I keep asking questions. I'm expecting responses. How did you become aware of God this morning? So far? Okay, absolutely. In each other. I just love the way you were greeting each other and coming into this space, and I'm sure the conversation in Sunday school. Absolutely. And then the visuals. The visuals. God's creation. The songs we sang. That's a one way of knowing. It's kind of a musical gathering together of voice and heart and mind and song. And we begin to know the love of God. We begin to know the love of God as we greeted each other. I'm sure you're in each other's lives, so that's how you know the love of God. There's a whole realm of ways of knowing this grace at work within us as we pay attention to it. It's not merely that Christ is coming to dwell in our hearts, but God is making a permanent residence in you. What does that mean? Paul, in his prayer, starts to break this out a little bit. He's moving right along here. He said, okay, it's the Abba that I'm praying to and I'm grateful for, and that all families in heaven and earth are named. And that my prayer is, I pray that you would, according to his riches, which he has just articulated up to this particular prayer, that you would be strengthened in your inner being through his Spirit. That is the Spirit that's alive and at work within you, drawing and pulling us together, that you may know in the heart of hearts through this faith that God has given you, that God is present and active and alive within you, as you are what? Being rooted and grounded in fun? Sometimes it's fun. Rooted and grounded in, please say it for me, a little bit louder. Love. Come on, say it. All together. Rooted and grounded in love. So what does that mean? That's the fun part about this prayer. It's an invitation to continue to discover what Paul is praying for you and for me. And we pray for each other. What is this all about? What is this thing called love that's being rooted and grounded in our lives? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What is the texture of love? Paul uses two images here that I really love. He uses the rooted or the horticultural, that this soil, this bedding soil for plants, that love may find its way out and grow in beauty, in all its profundity. And that it is grounded. That's a architectural, rooted and grounded in this deep, deep love. That's a foundational structure for your life. Love, based on love. As you are being rooted and grounded. As you are being rooted and grounded. That's, again, the process that Paul is inviting us into to consider. What assists you? What helps you? Pay attention to this rooted and groundedness. Can somebody just say a minute or two, what helps you to discover this love of God within you? What do you do? How do you pray? You ever think about that? Read your devotionals? Read scriptures? Sing songs? Come to church? Paul is inviting us to pay deep attention to how we allow ourselves to be formed in Christ. All the ways that Christ forms us. You leave here. This is one of my favorite seasons, isn't it? Yes. I happen to have a granddaughter named Autumn. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful gift. She is, of course, but the season is too. And it reminds me of that season because she is just that kind of colorful kid. Always full of energy. And so as we are being rooted and grounded, what forms you? What is the rhythm of your life? What is the rhythm of your life that allows this to be formed within you? Intentionality is key. I pray, Paul continues, that you may have the power to comprehend, that you may have the power. That means that you would allow yourself to be open wide enough that you would perceive the gift of God within you and among you. God wants that. Paul prays for that. And that you would be able to comprehend. Comprehend means to engage it in such a way that in my everyday living it is effective. Effective in my life. How is Christ effective in your life? And then there's this full scope. All the points of the compass. What is the breadth, length, height, and depth? And I really don't think Paul is inviting us to articulate what that means. As much as it is to understand this limitlessness of God's love for you. Limitlessness of God's love. This grace. It's profound. And we sometimes don't have a way of even holding it. I find myself sometimes in prayers not having enough words. You ever get to that point? Thank you for shaking your heads. I'm going to have to talk to Kevin about getting call and response going here. It's just profound, the depth of love God has. It's limitless. And so Paul's not making a list of this, and this. He's just saying it's beyond my ability to articulate it. Beyond my ability to articulate. And this is my prayer that you would experience it, that you would be able to comprehend, and he goes on further, that you would know by personal experience this love of Christ that goes beyond my ability to even know it. So this is the profoundness of this. On one hand, Paul is saying, I wish that you would be able to comprehend what you can't comprehend. Wow. Do you hear that? God wants us to comprehend what we can't comprehend, but He's given us His Spirit that's alive within us so that we can begin to understand that. And this is the mystery Paul is talking about. That in the richness of God, in the fullness of God, that is now, as he goes on to pray, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Take a breath. Whew. What does that mean? Anybody have a clue? What does it mean to be filled with the fullness of God? Can you understand that? I can't understand that prayer. It's just something we're invited to continue to live into. What does it mean to live into that? It's breathtaking in its implications. To attain the degree that exceeds our ability is the gift God has given us because of His deep love in Christ for us. For us. Individually and as the body of Christ. Breathtaking. Eugene Peterson says it this way in The Message. I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you would be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus this extravagant dimension of Christ's love, reaching out and experience its breadth, test its length, plumb its depths, rise to its heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. I can't say that any better than that. This is deep, deep, deep implications for wounded living and lives. Do you hear that? All of us out here, as I look around the room and I turn this inwardly, we're all wounded by life. We've all had our difficulties. We all misunderstand. But the deep, deep awareness of God's fullness of love transcends that and shapes it and shifts it into a way that brings freedom and wholeness and life. And Paul's prayer at this point in time, after he's rooted and grounding us in all that Christ has done and saying, you're God's poem, you're God's poetry out there, and God's writing that poetry in you, is now saying, this is my prayer, that you would be able to fully engage and understand what God is saying here to you. And I'm praying that God will reveal that to you. That's the heart of a pastor. And that's one of the ways we can continue to pray for each other. So, Paul stops and says, I can't say this any better, so I'm just going to do a praise to God. And he offers out a doxology. Now, unto Him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish far more abundantly all that we can ask or imagine, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. Amen. Just the words of glory. It's a doxology. He breaks it open into worship and says, look, God's at work in you. It's beyond anything you can imagine. What can you imagine as we sit here together? For you all. For this church. For the life of this church. For the life of this community. For your family. For your friends. For the situations around the world. For the body of Christ. What can you imagine? And God is already at work, going beyond that and inviting you into it to participate in that deep, deep, deep love of God's grace in Christ. God is able to accomplish this. Just an aside, that's a really rare tense in the Greek, this word, to accomplish abundantly. It doesn't happen very often. It has this implication that God is already doing it within your life. You know where you are. You know what God's doing. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. Amen. Just sit with us for a moment and then I'll make a transition. This prayer. Spirit of Christ, deepen this within our lives so that love may be preeminent because of your love for us forever and ever. Amen.